This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
To another Jerry Callahan Show, November 16th. If I am not mistaken, we are a week away from the best holiday of the year. You still have to call it Thanksgiving?
I think it's like Indigenous Peoples Day of Mourning or something now.
Where the white people eat their face off. Yeah.
Yes. If like me, you're in a bunch of suburban moms Facebook groups, then there's a bunch of parents in there every year now asking, like, what's the best way to handle this very sensitive topic with my children? Yeah. You can just serve turkey like a normal person. Just
drink, watch the Detroit Lions, have fun, and enjoy family and talk politics with that one liberal aunt who you can't stand and you'll talk behind her back every other day out of the year. But anyway, as obvious, as you can see, Jerry is not back. I am not Jerry. Alice is not Jerry. Craig is definitely not Jerry. He's also not on screen. He is dying of COVID. We mocked the COVID shot the other day. Maybe you should have gotten it because you sound absolutely terrible. That is not enough for Newsmax. They don't want people to look at the screen and see Jerry not here. They want us to go on and on and on and explain that Jerry, I'm not sure if you knew this, cannot speak right now. He's going through procedures. We hope he gets well soon, but he is not here. Okay. I am not Jerry. He is not here. Get better, Jerry. But let's get into the most recent insurrection at the Capitol. Not as bad as January 6th. Nothing will be. 9/11, we'll get in some people here who definitely think that January 6th is way worse than 9/11 because some people think that January 6th was actually, or 9/11 was worth it and Bin Laden was the good guy. We will get on that. Let's call it a tease. Let's get into this angry liberal with the curly hair.
We're outside the DNC. We're outside the Democratic Party headquarters because this party claims to be on the side of life and peace and equality. And we're saying that we want them to live up to their values and oppose this horrific war and call for a ceasefire now. And we're being responded to by the police shoving anti-war activists down the stairs, shoving peaceful protesters back with their bikes. And because our party that 80% of us want a ceasefire, protesters.
Hold on. Should we continue? One second.
I can listen to those noises all day. So before we get into the lunacy of that, it happens pretty quickly, but Alice, this is an activity. We didn't talk about this beforehand. Can you play the clip one more time? And I apologize, listeners. Can you, real quick, start from the beginning? It happens pretty quickly. Can you point out the biggest thing of hypocrisy that she says about where she's at and what these people believe in? Can you let me see if you can pick up on it. Craig, hit.
We're outside again. The DNC. We're outside the Democratic Party headquarters because this party claims to be on the side of life and peace.
Yes, this is the party that claims to be on the side of life.
This is the party that will tell you in a year. That'll be the rallying cry. It'll be abortion, women's rights. This is the party of late term abortion. This is the party of life. That right there made me laugh, and I thought I was done laughing. Then at the end, you hear incoherent liberal screams as they get into it with the Capitol Police. Insane. I do agree with the message. A ceasefire, I think, is what everybody should be rooting for. So the message is okay. But the way they go about it, like everything, is just over the top and just incoherent.
Oh, I'm not pro ceasefire. Let Israel do what they need to do. I mean, you don't. I think a ceasefire. You don't. The day after Pearl Harbor, demand that the United States go into a ceasefire. That's silly. Like it, and the people that are demanding it have been demanding it since October 7th. So you can't let Israel. Israel's getting rockets shot at them too. They're just having rockets shot at them by people who are incompetent. Yeah. So,
we're funding the rockets being shot both ways. So that's good. We're the good guys. as always here. But I've been saying this, we mentioned it last show, Democrats, they created this monster. They created these freaks. They created them in their colleges, mm-hmm. propaganda, you know, their favorite athletes, the favorite actress, singer, yep. what have you. And they had them controlled, right? They had the sheep on, you know, out in the farm. They're being herded well. How do they herd them back? How do they bring them back to their side? Because right now, they have no control of these people. Now, they're obviously not going to go out and vote for Trump this time next year.
But yeah, they have other choices. They have Cornel West. They have Jill Stein. Yeah. Both of them are, you know, all pro-Palestine ceasefire, mm-hmm. which is a little ironic, but whatever. But yeah, this is really tough for the Democrats because, as we know, there's always been this uneasy tension in the Democratic Party. They have a really tough time keeping their coalition together. In particular, with radical Islam, they have a really hard time with that, you know, couching that with the gay rights wing of the party, with the women's rights wing of the party, with the Jewish wing of the party. You know, like, you have all these mm-hmm. different coalitions in the Democratic Party, many of whom are very progressive on a lot of these issues. You're going to have a hard time reconciling that with the support for Palestine and, you know, the whole Gaza thing and shooting rockets at Israel constantly. Because if you look between the two countries, which one is living out progressive values better for, like, most of the Democratic Party? So they're really very stuck, and there's not a good answer for them, because right now, a lot of this more extreme wing of the party, the wing that's with the squad, the wing from which they're hiring all these young activists that they have working in the State Department, that they have working on Capitol Hill, they're writing letters demanding that Biden and Antony Blinken and the State Department and everybody, you know, that they support a ceasefire and stop backing up Israel in their attempt to stop Hamas from killing them. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the party who also would like us to be more full-throated in our defense of Israel in this situation. So they can't win, basically. Democrats are really having a hard time on this issue. They're going to lose people no matter what. Right now, they're losing both, but, you know, I don't know.
They'll come together, I'm sure, a little bit as time goes on. I think mm-hmm. the guy you mentioned who's going to take most of their votes, Cornel West, definitely going to, he'll be the one to most to gain. He's a better speaker than Stein, I believe. He's more captivating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that in particular, a lot of the, you know, the black vote tends to be more on the side, because this has been affiliated with Black Lives Matter and stuff. A lot of this movement, this protest movement that's backing Palestinians right now, has been very closely aligned with Black Lives Matter. So I think that a lot of that, like, hyper progressive black vote is much more aligned with Cornel West on these issues as well.
Yeah, most definitely. And the one thing that I noticed that's interesting, obviously, when it was January 6th, the liberals, suddenly became the party of law and order, and they were pro police and whatnot. I'm looking for the two Capitol police that I think we all know when you think of January 6th. You have that huge black guy that both these guys' names escape me. The guy's like 6'5", 320. Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Him. I think his first name might have been David. And then the white skinny guy with all the tattoos, who looked like he was central cast out of Hollywood. Where are those guys? You know, did they put them in front of every camera they could find to fake cry and tell their horror story, their sob? Where are we getting the stories from? It's been going on now. You know, second or third time I've seen it. Give me some sobbing cops. Why can't we get that right now?
No, not when the protesters are on this side of the issue. Never, never, never. But, you know, the left if they didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all. So they, you know, the right has to accept that the left is allowed to protest and the right is not. Like, we're always going to get in maximum trouble for anything that we do. So just, like, always toe the line. And credit to the pro-Israel protesters who were in D.C. earlier this week that, you know, no arrests, no graffiti, no knocking on the White House. It was calm. There was praying. There was, you know, nice signs, nothing, nobody called for genocide, nothing bad happened at it.
Yeah, just peace, harmony. They even had that Netanyahu, who was a famous rapper from like 20 years ago, come out with his One Hit Wonder, which is a song about unity and uniting. Totally different vibes than, you know, I feel like if you go to a Palestine protest, you have a better chance of leaving with, you know, free shoes than if you go to the Israeli one. You'll probably just leave there, you know, with a feeling of unity. So, yeah, insane. And then trust me, this is not ending. Although the sentiment remains, I don't think we see an Ashley Babbitt situation come from any of this, because angry liberals are off limits. veterans. Yeah, don't kill them all. Get one. Just get one. Send the message to one of them. Don't worry. You won't get in trouble. You might get an award and get promoted. But speaking of these people being absolutely radicalized, let's jump ahead to the TikTok algorithm that is breaking people's brains. And this is furthermore proof. This Bin Laden's letter to America, we mentioned, we didn't see this one coming. This is not on my bingo card of liberals now praising, feeling sympathetic towards Bin Laden. It's a long video. I would say Ironhead play as much as you feel necessary, but go ahead.
This morning I read Letter to America, which is Osama bin Laden's letter to America explaining why he attacked Americans. And I am ashamed to say that I not only have never read this letter, but I didn't even know this letter existed. It's wild, and everyone should read it. If you haven't read it yet, read it. However, be forewarned that this has left me very disillusioned, and I feel the same exact way I felt when I was deconstructing Christianity. I feel a little bit just confused, like I have entered into another timeline. What is this? And yeah, so go read it.
So I just read A Letter to America, and I will never look at life the same. I will never look at this country the same. Please read it. And if you have read it, let me know if you are also going through an existential crisis in this very moment, because in the last 20 minutes, my entire viewpoint on the entire life I have believed and I have lived has changed. Please read that entire letter.
I need everyone to stop what they're doing right now and go read. It's literally two pages. Go read A Letter to America. And please come back here and just let me know what you think, because I feel like I'm going through like an existential crisis right now. And a lot of people are. So I just need someone else to be feeling this.
Talking points.
I need you to stop what you're doing.
Yeah,
this was my favorite. He's my favorite.
It is literally the craziest thing I've read in a while. And while I can't say that I'm that surprised, I am pretty shocked. So go read it and tell me what you think, because I really also need to talk to other people about this. And actually, before you even read the letter, I did want to mention, in reading the letter, I could only think of this tweet that I saw the other day. Under settler colonialism, any kind of resistance is branded as terrorist because the only acceptable violence is violence by the occupier.
So this is f-ing insane. I just read Osama bin Laden's letter to America, which I will be going through right here, but it's actually so mind f-ing to me that terrorism has been sold as this idea to the American people and honestly just so many Western inhabitants within certain nations, that this group of people, this random group of people, just suddenly wakes up one day and just hates you, just wants you dead, wants you gone. And this is all because they believe that they're better than us. Like, that is the root of terrorism. It doesn't make sense. They just hate your nation. But reading this letter, it becomes apparent to me that the actions of 9/11 and those acts committed against the USA and its people were all just the buildup of our government failing other nations.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, you get the gist.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch of people that say they're now like, can't believe like we were wrong. He was right the whole time.
The one lady, if I remember correctly, I think she was like, when you served or something.
Yeah, she said she served and she was happy when we got Osama bin Laden. And then now she realizes like we were in the wrong the whole time. I mean, pretty incredible, but I guess it shouldn't surprise us, because what we're seeing in the Israel-Palestinian conflict is a bunch of these people at these protests are telling us that what we saw on October 7th, which was rapes, beheadings, torture, killing, hostage taking of innocent civilians, that was justified resistance to an occupying power. And then all those same people tell us all the time that, like earlier you mentioned the Native Americans, that we are occupying them and that this is stolen land. So they do think it's justified to do terrorism against us. I wasn't expecting to jump to 9/11 was justified this quickly, but I guess when everybody's brain is fried on the Chinese spy app, that it's not that hard to get people to make that leap now. All they have to do is read a letter from Osama bin Laden and they're fully on board. Forget the fact that he had wives that had to wear full hijabs and, you know, underage women and was a crazy lunatic who killed 3,000 Americans. You know, all the other progressive ideals are thrown out the window in a second. But, you know, if you use the right keywords in a letter about how we're all being occupied and controlled by big money corporate interests, then, you know, then it's fine that you destroyed a bunch of people.
It's all again. My favorite part about this too is you just like take a step back and look at it. You ask the government, right now, the biggest threat to America, it's not the invasion of the border. It actually might be climate change. So we might be second right now in the power rankings of threats to democracy. Mm-hmm. But for a while, it was domestic terrorists. Now, when you think of domestic terrorists, they think of people have pride in their country, people have red, white, and blue all over. If you go in their house, mm-hmm. your pride flag means you're inclusive. Pride flag means you can, you know, hate your own country. Like those people that you just saw praising Bin Laden, kind of being sympathetic to them. No, they're the good guys. They're the good ones. Go back to January 6th. That's the threat. Those mm-hmm. guys are the threat. The veterans, they're the threat. Yeah.
Moms at school board meetings, that's scary. But, you know, not the terrorists flying planes into buildings.
No, you can't have that. Let's get into Candace Owens versus Ben Shapiro. I've been doing a lot of research on this, and I don't have much of an idea where this comes from, but I know you might have a better idea. But let's play the clip that kind of went viral that showed there's a gigantic rift between the two, where Shapiro appears to be like at a private event talking bad about her.
Yes, the question is about Candace Owens. I think her behavior during this is disgraceful. Without a doubt, I think it's disgraceful. I can't go with that. Yeah, and she's still working for my company. Yeah, and I think she's been absolutely disgraceful. I think that her faux sophistication on these particular issues has been ridiculous. It's not faux sophistication, it's ridiculous. Everybody can see the moves that she's making and the things that she's saying, and I find them disreputable.
So that's a clip that kind of went around that showed that there's a gigantic rift between the two. Now, you have some background into where you think this started from. So I think the overall consensus was, obviously, there's a lot going on in Israel. Ben Shapiro is a devout Jewish man. And I think the sentiment was right on mine. She hasn't been 100% on board with like you and Tom. Well, you know, keep going, no ceasefire. She's not been on his quote unquote team as much. Is that kind of?
That's more or less it. I mean, I think she's gone a little further that way than I think Tucker has. Tucker's obviously in the anti-war thing too, which he had her on yesterday, which was huge. But, you know, I think she went a little further than that. Some of the things that initially raised my eyebrows, even a few weeks ago, like after those initial protests, especially the ones in London where, you know, there were these huge crowds all with Palestinian flags. And she was kind of tweeting like, oh, this is so good that all these people aren't just accepting the mainstream media narrative. Which I was like, well, maybe they're not. But that's that'll like bother. A little odd that she's saying that. And I said to Tom, like a few weeks ago, I was going, this was on the Burn Barrel podcast, our podcast. And I was going like, I don't know. She seems like really out of step with where the rest of the Daily Wire is. And obviously Ben Shapiro, definitely, like you said, he's one of the founding editors of the Daily Wire. She says he's not directly her boss, which is probably true, but you know, he's obviously still a heavy there. And so she said that she called what Israel was doing a genocide, which, you know, once again, pretty out of step with where everyone else is there at that in that building. You know, she called it a genocide. She said that,
ethnic cleanse.
Yeah. She said a bunch of stuff like that. She said, you know, it's that she's had a bunch of things and she's been wrong about a bunch of things too. Like she was saying that Israel has apartheid because they have a Muslim quarter in Jerusalem, which, you know, she was saying she got a little bit, you know, some egg on her face in an interview because she was saying that, you know, Jerusalem is segregated and it's not. The Muslim quarter is a historical section of Jerusalem. Muslims aren't required to live there. And the person in the interview was like, that's not true. And she was like, you know, she got caught out not really knowing what's going on. So I think, and she did get a lot of flack, and this is not Israel related, but she was on Bill Maher's podcast also. And she was doubting the moon landing too. And
nothing wrong with that.
And in particular, she said, you know, like, well, if it's so easy to go there, how come we didn't go back? And like, then he was like, but we did go back a few times. And, you know, she didn't know that either. So there was like a few times recently when she just came across as like not being informed on the issues, as well as the Israel stuff, like calling it a genocide and stuff like that, which is, Yeah, I don't know. And I think it's interesting she went on Tucker to talk about it, too. There's no one. She's not on Matt Walsh's show talking about it. She's not on Michael Knowles' show or Andrew Klavan's show talking about it. They're not saying like, oh, we've all got Candace's back. Even like when they did the vaccine stuff, Ben Shapiro made a point of it. You know, they didn't agree on the vaccine, but he said, like, we don't all have to agree at Daily Wire, all this stuff. I got the vaccine. Candace didn't. We're still friends. We still get along. She still works here. Nobody's said anything like that at the Daily Wire this time, which I think is really telling. So I think we're looking at, she's probably going to strike out on her own at some point here.
Yeah. So I think you hinted towards it. I think you realized that maybe her going to Tucker is a step in the next direction for life after Daily Wire.
I think so. It feels like a movement away from them. Like, cause she's saying on there, I have great relationships with everyone. He's not really in the building with us. But I think if that were true, she'd be on one of their shows saying this, and she's not. She's out of the building on Tucker's show saying this.
What have you thought so far? This is before we, I guess we can end this here, but what do you think so far with Tucker on X? What do you, overall review?
I've been a little disappointed. I was, you know, a daily watcher of Tucker, at least the monologue every single day when he was on Fox News. And obviously I'm on Twitter all the time. I have not watched every single one of these, or sorry, X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm on X all the time and I see these videos. I do not watch all of his long random interviews.
They're long.
With
they're
people.
Really, they're really long
and not all of them I find super interesting. And
did you see any of Theo Vaughn?
No, I didn't watch those ones. Or Ricky Vaughn, the guy.
No, Theo Vaughn. Theo Vaughn. He's nothing to do with politics. He is a big, comedian, friends with Rogan and whatnot. But I like Theo Vaughn. I was watching him, and it's very funny. Now, was that? He might have went on with Theo Vaughn on Theo's show. That maybe that's why I didn't see it. But Tucker's fun. He's a maniac.
He's a
the
funny
maniacal
dude.
Laugh he does. He's out of his mind. Me and Alex are watching it. She was like, I think Tucker's crazier than Theo. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe. You know,
I love him. I did watch him when he was on Russell Brand's show. That was really good. I think and part of it might be the legal issues. I think he has to in some ways keep it kind of different from what he was doing at Fox so he can avoid that, triggering those non-compete clauses that were in his Fox contract. He has to kind of, I think if he does too similar a show to what he was doing at Fox, then he runs into some legal trouble. So I think he's trying to keep it different and fresh and do these interviews and stuff. And I also think he's just having fun. Like he's experimenting with the format, doing his own thing. Not all of it interests me. I like to hear him talk. I thought he was really great when he did the forum in Iowa too with the presidential candidates, and he just eviscerated a bunch of them, like Asa Hutchinson and stuff. I could do that all day. I would love to see him, interview
that was
standard that was conventional Tucker. Republicans all day. That's beautiful to me.
Yeah. That was peak Tucker. All right, we got a few more things to get into, but first,
excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry.
So we are talking about random candidates that will be the answer to your conservative family's trivia game one day, like Asa Hutchinson, who I already forgot about, to be honest. Nikki Haley just put herself on that list because her time as a candidate, I don't think it was ever real, but it's over. It's done. She's had a couple just out there takes, insane takes. Let's play the clip first. Not the girl. We'll say the girl power. That one's just as worse. Play the censorship clip that kind of made the rounds.
They need to verify every single person on their outlet because, and I want it by name. Because when
what about Smug? Does he qualify?
I've provided them with my government.
If Smug is on your driver's license, then, and look, you can put Smug in parentheses, but I want everybody's name.
Right. No more anon social media accounts. That's it.
No, when Elon took it over, he kind of floated that idea out there, you know, pay for it. Not many people did. Just get rid of the fake accounts, put your government name in, and it makes sense in theory, right? To kind of get rid of the scumballs online posting anonymous stuff. But that is entirely overreach. That's insane. Everyone listening, I would say 9 out of 10 people listening to that, Democrat, Republican, indifferent, were thinking that's way, way too much.
Oh, yeah.
Part of me thinks, is she saying the quiet part out loud, though? Like, is that kind of the sentiment and the thought in D.C.? Like, is that the goal where they may not be as transparent as she just was? Or is she just a lone wolf just being nuts?
I mean, I think everybody in D.C., a lot of them would kind of like that. They hate stuff that they can't control. They want to be able to go after people for stuff that they do and say on social media. Certainly, like, Biden would love to do that. And I think in general, like, a lot of the, quote, uniparty, a bunch of the Democrats and Republicans who are sort of down the middle, that, you know, they like that stuff. You know, they want to ID people.
Although I think, you know, then it would make it harder. Like, a lot of people think that QAnon was a three-letter agency co-op where they're out there just, you know, spewing misinformation and getting everybody all tangled up and confused and send them in different directions. So that would make it harder for QAnon, but I think the government may get a pass. But Nikki Haley, she was never a serious candidate. She's done. Good try. Go back to the home state of South Carolina. You know, I don't know. I think that was such a bad campaign, the way this is coming to a crash again with these clips. I think that any serious candidate like Trump, that kind of disqualifies her from any role in the cabinet. Just go back. Do some South Carolina stuff, come back in a decade and hope people forgot. But we mentioned it. The worst clip she had is she keeps going back to this girl power stuff, this like feminist empowerment. That's not a right-wing talking point. Ironhead, do you have this cringe clip?
What happens? He comes out of the gate. He hits the female chair of the party. He hits the female anchor on the platform. And then he hits me. And I'm not saying anything.
I ain't saying, I'm just saying.
But he might have a girl problem. Yeah. I'm just saying he might have a girl problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Shame on the other
problem.
People for laughing. Yeah. Shame on everybody else for encouraging that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a pretty, I don't know if you listen to the Ruthless podcast, but they're pretty establishment. They're like, that's where all the, they're, you know, DC consultants, basically. And they're kind of like funny and stuff. They do a pretty good job, but they totally launder DC people through there. They had her on because they want to help her. They're like her type of people. Absolutely. You know, all the politicians go on there when they want to say stuff.
It's a safe landing spot.
Yeah. It should be a safe spot for a Nikki Haley to be, but which I assume is why they're laughing at that. But yeah, it's terrible. She's totally out of step with where the party is. You got attacked because you're a girl. Like, stop.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. But it does make sense that the war hawk like her. This is, I know you and Tom are on that side. The war hawk is also pro censorship and everything. So she does have that part down. Where Vivek and Trump just seem to be on their side. Although Trump had a statement the other day where I was like, that does really sound like him. Did you see the statement where he was like, if they spill a drop of our blood, we'll spill a gallon of theirs or something.
That sounds like him. Yeah. I mean, that's my thing about the Israel Palestinian war thing is, you know, this is not a group of people who are showing that they're ready to be in the 21st century with the rest of us. Like, this type of terrorism and stuff. And like, Israel puts up with this constantly. Like, rockets getting fired at them, people blowing themselves up in their malls by their kids. I mean, these are people who are holding an American 3-year-old hostage right now. Like, I mean, like, we don't have to, we're at war with them. That's I mean, like the United States isn't, but the Western civilization is at war with this group of people.
And, so, and soon that'll be the only war, because it looks like Ukraine
They're screwed.
Is coming. It's coming to an end. But we did what we had to do. We fought our proxy war. It was quote unquote from the people in D.C. They'll never say this out loud, but this was an investment by us, investment by us to fight our biggest, you know, one of our biggest
geopolitical rivals,
enemies. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, so we didn't care. They didn't care. But Zelensky, we hand put him there. We didn't care how many people died. This was just a proxy war. We didn't have to lose any Americans. I mean, we did lose Americans because people went over there to fight.
And Ukraine is going to lose a bunch of their territory here. I mean, like, how many months have we gone on without any movement in the places where people are engaged in fighting? There has been zero progress in either direction in this war for months and months and months. Like, this is how many more millions of dollars have we poured in while, you know, while we were just sitting here? And now, you know, the left is all like shiny new object. Moving on.
Zelensky's left. You know,
this was, you know, his moment. He's
waking up, like waking up in a coke home, you know, hangover, saying, "Hey, Joe, I need more money." Not anymore.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nope.
Right now, we're in the middle of the Ukraine offensive, where this is supposed to be where they go on the counterattack to get their land back, they strike back. That's gone terribly. That thing will be over, I would say, in the next 3 months, which is good. The whole thing should have never happened. Disgrace. But yeah, Ukraine, big country, just got a little bit smaller. And
Trump's actually the only recent president under whose administration Ukraine didn't lose a bunch of territory to Putin. So you can give him credit for that, because the Obama administration gave Putin a big chunk of Ukraine too. So
The reason why is I think they had a handshake deal. Hey, if we rig the election for you, Trump, you know, just pretend that we're the good guys, and when you leave, we'll take the land back. I think that's how it goes in liberal brains. But my favorite liberal city, when you think of liberals, you think of San Francisco. A once beautiful city, which is now known for poop on the streets and incredibly high taxes. But the one thing upside of it is you can now steal for free. I mean, as long as it's under $1,000, it's okay. Take it. It's yours. Just don't go above $1,000. You may get a summons in the mail. But this city went back to its beautiful roots, where there's no poop on the streets. Huge fences all around the place. That's not that authentic. But let's hear how the next Democrat. He'll be running this time next year, right? We can agree? Democrat presidential hopeful. Let's hear him how we welcome in our buddy Xi Jinping.
Folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true. But it's also true, for months and months and months prior to APEC, we've been having different conversations.
There remarkable. If you live in San Francisco, you get conversations about cleaning up the homeless and the open air drug markets and the crime and everything. If you're Xi Jinping, you get it actually cleaned up.
Yeah,
anytime you put on an event, by definition, you know, you have people over your house, you're going to clean up the house. You have 21 world leaders, you got tens of thousands of people coming from all around the globe. What an opportunity to showcase the world's most extraordinary place.
Yeah, you know, vacuuming them up for guests, you know, cleaning up the homeless and the poop on the street, same thing. You clean up when people come over. Plus, we're still in hot water after he ran over a Chinese kid playing one-on-one. So, yeah, there's a lot of you know, cleaning up to do, which is, can you just imagine getting that job? You're used to cleaning up, you know, homeless poop, you know, picking up the needles, whatnot, maybe giving somebody Narcan to keep them alive so they can overdose the next day. Getting the order one day, you know, expecting the normal. Say, hey, yeah, move all these guys 4 miles down the road. What? How? What do we do with their tents? What do we do with their needles? What do we do with the hair? What do we do? It must be a hectic direction to get and thing to actually carry
out.
It's
amazing.
It's embarrassing. It just shows that everything that the people in that city, like, if you're actually a normal person, you're still there for whatever reason. Like, I want our streets cleaned up. Oh, it's not possible. It happened like that.
Oh, yeah. They could do it in a second if they want to. They just inconvenience the residents all the time for no reason because they're lazy. They didn't even need any additional funding. They did it all out of existing funds. It's wild. And everybody else has to live in this like failed state mess constantly. Down in Southern California, they just had this thing happen where there's a homeless encampment under a highway and their propane tank started a huge fire that's destroyed the highway, which is the second most traveled section of highway in the entire country. 300,000 people go over it every day, and it's now unusable for the foreseeable future, weeks, months, because the whole thing's like melted, the guardrails are destroyed, the overpass is wrecked, cars can't go over it.
This is the United States Camaro, for God's sake.
That's exactly right. Joe,
play it one more time.
This is the United States Camaro, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's right, it is the United States of America.
Let me start off with two words.
What could go wrong given a bunch of junkies propane tanks? Like, what a terrible, you don't let kids play with matches. Don't let junkies play with propane tanks. Yeah, you know, let's be consistent here through and through.
I know, especially under major infrastructure that you can't really replace.
Yeah, no, it's embarrassing. But I think the worst clip, I don't think we have a clip of this though, was what I saw. You have these big fences and G's coming in, and there's one American flag, I think I see, but the streets are just filled with Chinese flags, you know, the same country that gave us, there was no pangolin getting eaten, same country that probably used our tax dollars to create COVID. They've done nothing good for us. And this is what we get. We give them a huge presidential welcome. And even the most embarrassing part, he's like, yeah, we're not competitors, Biden said. We're not competitors. You know, we got to work together. Friendly competition. So come on, no, we are absolutely competitors. BRICS is a real thing. They've been owning us in trade forever. They're back to owning us in trade. They released a virus upon the world, changed the history of the world, and we're going to treat them like this? Absolutely insane. By the way, people holding the flags there, they're probably Chinese spies. Chinese spies are all over the place. We touched on that when we had Lobster Boy on the other day, but we have one last story I want to touch on. This is definitely right up your alley, a town over, you said. North Andover, Mass, I guess. Where did this start before we get to the clip? What was the thing that got the ball rolling on this, the Palestinian flag getting raised?
So this kind of stems from this change in policy that a lot of towns are going through because of this Supreme Court decision in Boston. So in Boston, they fly the pride flag and all this stuff because they love to, obviously. And this group wanted to put up a Christian flag with a cross on it and stuff. And Boston said no. And the Supreme Court ruled that if you have a policy where you put up flags by request for residents, then you got to take everybody's flag. So North Andover had one of these policies that they put up flags by request. They had been flying the Israel flag after this attack on October 7th. And they changed the policy to say, we don't want to do these flags anymore because we could get freaking anything, and we don't know what we're gonna get, and we're afraid of somebody. And so a couple hours before the new policy was scheduled to go into effect, which is what it should be, just the U.S. flag, the state flag, the town flag, the prisoners of war flag, things like that that are, you know, have to do with the government and the armed forces. It should be simple, not just anything anybody wants to put up. So a couple hours before this new policy went into effect, this pro-Palestine activist put in the request to fly the Palestinian flag for a month. So the town said, you know, our hands are tied. We have to put it up. But what blew my mind, really, they're saying they don't have a choice about it. I think they would have discovered that they could justify having a choice if it had been a swastika flag or something. I think they would have decided they had a choice in that case. But anyway, their town attorney advised them, you don't have a choice. You have to put it up. They voted unanimously to put it up. And the people in the town were at this town meeting where they made the decision, cheering, clapping, yes, put it up. I mean, once again, this is in support of a group of people that have Americans hostage right now, including a 3-year-old that raped and tortured and set on fire a bunch of peace activists who were at a concert, who, you know, threw grenades into children's bedrooms and took elderly people hostage. This is not the group that you want to support. And the only reason you're putting up this flag right now is in response to the worst terror attack that has been done in the region in years and years. It's wild. It's the equivalent of 20-something 9/11s compared to the Israeli population. So the idea that that attack happens and that you decide you need to go out and fly the flag of the group that did it is just absolutely nuts to me. I turned to Tom, who's my husband, who's a little older than I am, and I was like, during the Iranian hostage crisis, would anybody have, like, gone out, like, when they captured the Americans and they were hostages, did anybody, like, throw up an Iranian flag on their house like that day?
They would have been ostracized and, you know, been made an enemy of everybody else in the community. But now
that would have been a psychotic thing to do. That would have been nuts. Yeah. I mean, like, if you were an Iranian person and you'd always had an Iranian flag around, then, like, maybe
that's fair.
But
yeah,
then I can, like, see it. But if you like, if your response to the terrorist group is to, like, show support for the attack that they just did 5 minutes ago, that's, like, a crazy thing. And I feel bad for the Jewish people who live in this town, honestly. It's terrible. You have to walk by that and know that, like, the people that you're sending your kids to school with, like, want you dead, that they're, like, all for wiping Israel and the 7 million Jews who live there off the planet. Like, you have to now, like, hang out with these people that are cheering for terrorists in your town meeting.
Well, these same people were the same people that probably, you know, were threatened by books being banned by radical Republicans, although you live in Massachusetts. These are the people who probably wanted to ban Trump flags, wanted to get rid of American flags for July 4th because it's a sign of aggression. These are the same people, right? So these are people that, like, if you're some of these Jewish people there who you're like, wait, we've been locked up and everything. Whoa, were we wrong? Are we wrong? Are you guys... It must be a real, like I said, it's a really weird point right now where a lot of these people who've been locked up in train of thought for a long time, especially since Trump came in, are now just at odds all over the place. But one encouraging thing that I saw from that clip, that was not a great crowd. I saw about seven people.
Not huge. No.
Yeah. Not definitely not huge. But yeah, absolutely insane. It's crazy. That's a town over from you guys are surrounded by wackos now.
Let's see.
Let's see if Ironhead's worth it. Oh, go ahead.
There was one more town near us. We had the flag wars have been going on in Massachusetts for a while. There was another town, Wakefield, right by where you stay when you're in Massachusetts, next door to Melrose. And they had a whole thing this past June. They were going straight from flying the Pride flag into flying the Juneteenth flag. And somebody put in a request asking if they could fly the American flag on Flag Day. And no, the town just in between Pride and Juneteenth. And no, they couldn't have one day of just the American flag for Flag Day. That was not.
Yeah, that's remarkable. That's where we're at, though. That's encapsulates exactly where we're at. I gave him a task. All right, let's see if he's worth the money that's getting paid. Now, this clip is fascinating. We were going to, I think, cover this yesterday briefly.
You can say yes before continuing.
Say yes for what?
Said, am I worth the money? Found it in 2 seconds.
No, oh, yeah, apparently. I gave you a description. You go, Tim Pool, ? Well, maybe you're not worth the money. I mean, no sense. Not Tim Pool. Nothing to Tim Pool.
Protest Pool. I think Tim Pool. Politics. Shut up.
Now, all of a sudden, COVID's gone. Your attitude comes out. Hit play.
Yes, Lynn.
That's pretty much it. It's, I guess there was a championship match in pool billiards, maybe it might be the correct term. And a trans woman, whatever it is, a person identifying as a woman with a penis. That's
gotcha.
Just to be clear, versus an actual woman with the lady parts vagina. We're supposed to play up. And by the way, I don't agree with this on any level, but if there were a sport, maybe you're like, this might be the one. Like, how much of an advantage do you actually have if you're playing billiards? But good for that person. She took a stand. Well, okay, I take it back. You got no shot. Looks like Craig with a little longer hair. Yeah, I got one.
It's also a conflict in chess, believe it or not, where you wouldn't necessarily know that. Yeah, but men's and women's chess have always traditionally been separate, and women just don't tend to rank as high in chess competitions as men do. So
I'll take a Chinese woman over an American trans man any day in a game of chess. But no, good for them. I mean, it was a story made a blip on the radar, but we need to see more of that. I know in cycling, they're letting these men compete, and they're, wouldn't you know it, they're winning by a lot. In high school athletics, which I think is the most criminal, like the professionals, at least you're getting paid. These high school kids, you know, the parents have been doing this forever, taking them back in front of practice. You want to see your kid succeed and have your kid finish behind a person who was finishing in eighth place this time last year, but now all of a sudden they had a revelation. They're now a woman. That's annoying. That would drive me ballistic. So good on this pool play. I hope we see more of that. It's crazy that we've gotten to this point where we have flags being flown, where we have women losing to biological men. I hope they always say that things eventually come back around, right? The world's gone so far this way. Hopefully it swings back. We can just settle in the middle. I haven't really seen too many signs of that. Maybe this next upcoming election will be a turning point where we start to come back a little bit to normalcy, but I'm not overly confident in that right now.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. There has been some polling that Americans are starting to moderate a little bit on the trans issues, that a higher percent of people think, you know, maybe we've given the trans people enough rights now. Like, they all get free surgery and everything. Like, maybe we can cool it with the women's sports and like the getting to go to women's prisons and locker rooms and everything. And yeah, we can go back a little bit here. But you know, it'll take time to undo all this madness.
No, definitely. Are we running this back one more time tomorrow to get a second show in for the week? Is Craig going to be a diva again? Craig?
It's up to you.
I'm available.
I want to see if we can, since Craig just doesn't speak, well, he's seasick. I want to see if we get maybe a Tom Friday to really let the show go off the rails.
I can't make it then.
It's okay, fair. That's good. Good instinct. But thank you everybody for tuning in. We will see you 9:30 again tomorrow. Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me.
Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.
Hi, it's Tony Marino, host of the Newsmax Daily Podcast, your daily news bulletin of Newsmax's top headlines, along with commentary from our hosts and experts. You can learn more about all of the free podcasts, including Newsmax Daily, Rob Carson, and Jerry Callahan at newsmax.com/listen.